Sri Sri Radha Krishna Govinda Shama Panda Radha Kodi Gidi Govinda Nijai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadab Dham Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Anand Gauri Vaishnava Vrindi Ki Jai Samaveta Vakra Vrindi Ki Jai Gopi Vrindi All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru Sri Granga, all glories to Sarova. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Om Vishuddhaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Nityanamane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvasesha Srinivadi Vastasya Vesha Tarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Saraswati Gaurabhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Greetings from Srinivadi 7:57 Adok Sajal Lambam Ihasivatmanam
Adok Sajal Lambam Ihasivatmanam
Sarivinana Samsuti Chakra Satatam
Sarivinana Samsuti Chakra Satatam
Tad Brahma Nirvana Sukham Vidurudas
Tad Brahma Nirvana Sukham Vidurudas
Tato Bajad Vam Hidare Vipishwaram
Tato Bajad Vam Hidare Vipishwaram
Personality of Godhead.
Alambam.
Being constantly in contact.
In this material world.
Asubhamana. Whose mind is materially contaminated. Sarirana. Of a living entity who has accepted a material body. Samshruti. Material existence.
Chakra.
Cycle.
Satanam.
Completely stopping.
That.
Brahma Nirvana.
Brahma Nirvana.
Connected with the Supreme Brahman.
Sukham.
Transcendental happiness.
Vidu.
Your span.
Buddha.
Those who are spiritually advanced.
Tata.
Therefore.
Bhajadvam.
Engage in devotional service.
Engage in devotional service.
Within the core of the heart.
In the core of the heart.
Hridishwaram.
Supreme Personality of God.
Translation, the real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death, which is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. All learned men know this. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the Asuras, immediately begin meditating upon and worshiping the Super Soul within everyone's heart. Purport, generally is understood that by emerging into the existence of Brahman, the impersonal feature, the absolute truth, one becomes completely happy. The words Brahman Nirvana refer to connecting with the absolute truth, who is realized in three features, Brahma, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. One feels a Brahma Sukha, spiritual happiness, by merging into the impersonal Brahman, because the Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti. Yasya Prabha, the impersonal Brahman, consists of the rays of Krishna's transcendental body. Therefore, whatever transcendental bliss one feels emerging in Brahman is due to contact with Krishna. Contact with Krishna is perfect Brahma Sukha. When the mind is in touch with the impersonal Brahman, one becomes satisfied, but one must advance further to render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For one remaining merged in the Brahman of faultlessness, not always assured. As it is said, Aruhya Kritrena Param Param Pata Patanchana, not that the Yushma Kumraha. One may merge in the Brahman feature with the absolute truth, but there is a chance that one may fall because of not being acquainted with Adokshaja or Vasudeva. Of course, such a Brahma Sukha undoubtedly eliminates material happiness. But when one advances through a personal Brahmana Loka, to approach the Supreme Personality of God and realize that relationship with him as servant, friend, parent, or conjugal lover, one's happiness becomes all-pervading. Then one automatically feels transcendental bliss just as one becomes happy seeing the shining of the moon. One acquires natural happiness upon seeing the moon, but when one can see the Supreme Personality of God, one's transcendental happiness increases hundreds and thousands of times. As soon as one is very intimately connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one surely becomes free from all material contamination. Yajnavritti is Tanabhakam, the cessation of all material happiness. It's called Nirvritti or Nirvana. Guru Goswami says in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu Brahmananda Bhavadesha Chet Parada Gunikrita Naiti Bhakti Sukham Bodhe Paramana Kalamati. If Brahmananda, the bliss emerging in the Brahmana province, were multiplied 100 trillion times, it would still not equal even an atomic fragment of the ocean of transcendental bliss felt in devotional service. Brahmabhuta prasannatmana sochatina kakshati sama sarvesha bhuti shiva bhaktim lavate param. One who is transcendentally situated, at once realizes the Supreme Brahmana becomes fully joyful, he never laments or desires to have anything. He is equally disposed towards all living entities. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto the Lord. If one advances further from Brahma Nirvana platform, one enters the stage of devotional service. The word Adokshajalambam refers to keeping the mind always engaged in the absolute truth is beyond the mind and material speculation. Savatmana Pararavindayo. This is the result of deity worship, constantly engaging in the service of the Lord and thinking of his lotus feet, one's automatically free from all material contamination. Thus, the word Brahma Nirvana Sukha indicates that when one is in touch with the absolute truth, material sense gratification is completely nullified. Translation: the real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death, which is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realized in constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. All other men know this. Therefore, my dear friends, O sons of the Asuras, I need to begin meditating upon and worshiping the Super Soul within everyone. Here we have this phrase, Brahma Nirvana Sukham. The intelligent people know that the bliss resulting from Brahma Nirvana stops the cycle of birth and death in this material world for the living entities attached to the material bodies. One could say, well, this means that one should merge into Brahman, because Brahma Nirvana usually means the impersonal aspect of the Lord. And there is some sukha, or happiness, derived from that, Brahma Nirvana sukha. However, as Prabhupada has pointed out in the purport, there is ample evidence in the Bhagavatam itself and in the Nectar Devotion and other texts to show that the happiness of Brahman is nothing compared to the service of the Supreme Lord. So one of the qualities of bhakti mentioned in Nectar Devotion, the fourth quality, is moksha, lagutakrit, to take liberation as insignificant. So when one attains bhava and sees the Supreme Lord, one realizes that moksha, impersonal liberation, is nothing. Is the bliss there is nothing compared to the bliss on realizing the Supreme Lord. So therefore, Brahma Nirvana, in the normal sense of impersonal happiness, cannot be meant in this verse, because immediately it says, therefore, we should worship the Lord in your heart. And he says that also this Brahma Nirvana Sukha is Adokshaja Alambam. It's connected with the Supreme Lord. So, yes, there is a bliss in Brahman, Brahmananda. But as the scriptures also state, it is nothing compared to the bliss of prema. And therefore, the fifth quality of bhakti is that it is very intense bliss. The experience of bhakti is very, very intense bliss. It is not just ananda. However, even the ananda of Brahman, or that bliss of Brahman, we can say is in some sense spiritual, because it is connected with the Supreme Lord. So Prabhupada says, just as the effulgence of the sun is connected with the sun, and therefore it has got some quality of it, of the sun. So the bliss of Brahman, we can say, is also connected with the bliss of the Supreme Lord. It is blissful because the Supreme Lord is blissful. So in that sense, there is some bliss. Jiva Goswami, however, also says that this bliss of Brahman is actually insignificant because there is no manifestation of the shaktis of the Lord, the qualities of the Lord, the form of the Lord, the pastimes of the Lord, anything else. So we can say it is Supreme Lord without realization of much else. Yeah? So the devotees realize the Supreme Lord with his shaktis. He has his three main shaktis, the sandini, samvit, and padini shaktis. So when we realize the Supreme Lord without the shaktis, then we get the bliss of Brahman. But what is that bliss? Because the haladini shakti is the shakti of bliss. And if we don't realize that shakti, then what type of bliss do we have in Brahman? Some shadow. So, the realization of Brahman, yes, there is Satchitananda there in one sense, but it is prominently the sun aspect of the Lord. Something spiritual exists, that's the... And this negates material existence, with birth, death, old age, disease, suffering, karma, etc. The impersonalists, of course, logically argue that ananda also is not a quality of Brahman, because Brahman can have no qualities. So when they say ananda, Brahman, etc. in the scriptures, in the Upanishads, it doesn't mean bliss as such, not a quality. It simply means negation of material existence. Brahman is the negation of material existence with its suffering and temporary nature. That's all it is. That's what the ananda means, they'll say. So,
therefore that ananda or the bliss in Brahman realization is minimal, certainly not related to the material world, but also minimal. The other point here, of course, is that this verse here is quoted that again, those who think they are liberated with great difficulty perform some sadhana, jnana, or yoga to get their liberation. But again, they fall down because they do not respect the lotus feet of the Lord. They do not accept the spiritual form of the Lord. Therefore, they fall from their position. So they may get some sort of realization of detachment from the material world. How do we correlate this with the idea that mukti should be eternal? And why would a jnani strive for liberation if it's temporary? Is it ill-informed? No, the scriptures also say it is an eternal state, that mukti. So then how is the Bhagavatam say that the person falls down? So, the solution is that, given by our acharyas, is that the jivan mukta can fall from his position. He may realize Brahman while he's still alive, and then, in that position, he can succeed, and he'll fall back into the material world because he commits aparad against the Lord by not realizing it. There are some impersonalists who do not offend the Lord. They accept the existence of the Lord, but they prefer Brahman, so they can get that by the mercy of the Lord. But those who do not accept the existence of the Lord are aparadis. So they may think they are liberated as their jivan muktas, but they fall from that position also. Those who are more fortunate, do not offend the Lord, can enter a higher state of complete liberation and giving up the material body. That state is eternal. So, therefore, those who refuse to worship the Lord and think he has a material body, these offenders actually never attain liberation. So that would imply that all the followers of Shankaracharya never attain liberation because they all reject the form of the Lord and say it's Maya. So there are some persons, they're not Maya bodies, different persons, yeah? Such as the person like Sukadeva. He was an Atmagyan. He did not offend the Lord, but he was interested in Brahman. He was in that state of realizing Brahman. But he became a devotee also. So, it's not that all impersonalists are Mayavadis. And of course, it's not only Mayavadis that may offend the Lord. There's other impersonalists also that could offend the Lord, like the Nyayakas or something. They believe in Ishvara, but again, they think maybe he hasn't got a form or something like that. So, there are many different philosophies that may also accept the Lord, but they may not give him a form, something like that. And it's not my love philosophy because they accept the reality of the material world. Anyway, some impersonalists do accept the form of the Lord, but they're not my bodies. So they have success. This, of course, is in correlation with the fact that without the mercy of the Lord, the jnani cannot get liberation. But you can't get the mercy of the Lord if you offend the Lord, obviously. So only those impersonalists who actually accept the form of the Lord and worship him to a little degree, that little bhakti allows them to get their liberation. So, therefore, that liberation, temporary liberation, is the liberation of the jivan mukta. But he would think of himself as liberated because he got some sort of realization. But because of his offense to the Lord, he cannot actually get liberation. And he'll come back to the material world again to get another material body. So, therefore, the real Brahma Nirvana Sukha is the happiness derived from Param Brahma, If we take Brahman as the impersonal aspect, we should take Param Brahman, the Supreme Brahman, as the Supreme Lord with his form, qualities, and activities. Of course, often we'll find that Param Brahma refers to Krishna, or the Param Brahma with Nar-Akriti, with the human form, and directly refers to Krishna. Now, there's a statement in the Vishnu Purana. Brahman does not necessarily refer to the impersonal state. And, of course, in the Brahma Sutras, Brahman there does not refer to the impersonal Brahman. Atato Brahma Jigasa does not refer to impersonal Brahman. He refers to the Supreme Lord, who is Jamajasayataha, from which creation, maintenance, and destruction takes place. If it is impersonal Brahman of the impersonalist, there can be no creation or destruction because everything is illusion. So that statement is meaningless for them. So anyway, the Brahman spoken of in the Brahma Sutras means Supreme Lord. Like the word Atma can mean the Jiva, can also mean the Supreme Lord. So the word Brahman can of course mean the Jiva also being spiritual. It can also mean impersonal Brahman. It can also mean Supreme Lord in his personal form, depending on the context. So to make things clearer, sometimes we speak of Krishna as Parabrahma instead of Brahman. Nevertheless, the word itself, Brahman, means, literally, or according to derivation of the root, it means the greatest, one who causes increase. In other words, he can manifest the material world, etc. And one who is spread everywhere, because he is the greatest. So that refers to the Supreme Lord. So the bliss derived from the Supreme Lord is much greater than the bliss of realizing Paramatma or Brahman. So that is stated in many places in the Bhagavatam and other scriptures. And for that reason, other realizations are all rejected. Therefore, the implication here is that the bliss of the jiva is quite important to the jiva. Though, we must also say that I think the goal of the jiva is service to the Lord. The result of that service is that the jiva becomes blissful. We can, of course, become a little bit materially motivated by, say, well, I want to be happy, therefore I'll worship the Supreme Lord for my happiness, like that. So this, of course, becomes a problem, because then again we're back to the material world of trying to be happy. So the Ananda is definitely, therefore the jiva, his ultimate goal is the happiness, but the only way he can get that happiness is by giving up the desire for his own happiness. Then he gets actual bliss. But if he thinks, I want this happiness for himself, immediately he is debarred from actual bliss in the spiritual world, because he's thinking in terms of his material identity again, separate from the Supreme Lord. So the purushartha for the jiva is prema, not artha, dharma, and kama. But we can also say that the purushartha, the jiva, the goal of the jiva is ananda. The jiva is ultimately searching for that bliss that is only available by prema, that is pure service to the Supreme Lord. But when he gets that pure prema, then he experiences highest bliss and greatest satisfaction. If he gets the bliss of Brahman, then it is not complete satisfaction for the jiva. So he's not really fulfilled in that state. So therefore, we compare the bliss of Brahman to the bliss of Bhagavan realization. We say that bliss is more. So this means that the jiva is more satisfied in the state of realizing the Supreme Lord than in realizing the impersonal aspect. So the scriptures often speak in terms of happiness and getting rid of the distresses of the material world. This, of course, is, you can say, a little bit of a lure for people. People are in distress in the material world, and they crave happiness, and therefore, the scriptures will talk about getting rid of material distress, destroying karma, etc., through the process of bhakti. But as I said before, this is, of course, a secondary result. And the main goal of the devotee is simply to worship the Supreme Lord and try to satisfy him. The result is all of this, stopping the cycle of birth and death, etc. Through this, he actually gets the highest satisfaction, highest bliss. So the main element of emphasis for the devotees, therefore, is the service to the Supreme Lord. This, of course, is mentioned here. Therefore, Bhajjabhavam, you should worship the Supreme Lord who's in the heart of the devotees, etc. So the main element is the worship of the Supreme Lord. The secondary factors are these other things: destruction of karma, material existence, suffering in the material world, again, as was mentioned in the previous verse. It starts in bhava stage. In bhava there is ananda, and in prema it becomes condensed bliss, extreme bliss.
Why Prahlad is asking the sons of Asuras to meditate upon the Lord rather than asking them to chant the holy name?
Well, he doesn't actually say meditate, he says bhajam, worship. Bhajam, worship. So it is not only meditating, but everything. Worship, yeah, all forms of worship. In other words, bhakti, perform bhakti to the Lord. In other words, the word bhaj, the verb bhaj, worship, respect, revere, etc., from that comes the word bhakti. Bhakti comes from bhaj. So bhakti yoga also means worship of the Lord. In sadhana, we don't call it ananda, but one of the qualities manifested, the six qualities mentioned by Rupa Goswami, is subhada. So one definition of subhada is that it gives happiness. It is not the happiness of material life, obviously. It is not the bliss of liberation. It is the happiness of bhakti. So there is some sukha, which is different from material happiness and different from the bliss of liberation, which is available even for the devotee doing sadhana. And then it manifests as ananda when one directly realizes the Lord in bhava stage, and that ananda becomes intense in the stage of prema. We can say it as a shadow of the ananda.
Who?
Well, obviously the Gyanis and the Yogis strive for liberation, and they can destroy their, slowly, in a slow process, they can begin to destroy all their karmas, etc., whatever. And then they stop the functions of the mind according to yoga principles with great endeavor, kritra. Then they can get to that stage of doing it in this material body. It's not a permanent state, but sometimes they get a realization of this stopping the functions of the mind, etc., whatever. But, as I said, because they don't accept the form of the Supreme Lord, they don't get the mercy of the Lord, and therefore they'll deviate from that position again. So it's a temporary type of realization that they get. Then again, they fall back into material realizations and material karma again.
You mentioned
about
the saying, accept the form of the Lord, but he's attached to the influence of that form, he can be liberated when he's available.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Then, of course, we also have to understand that the Brahman position is also part of the Lord. So if one realizes that in a permanent and in a very strong way, then that should also be permanent because it is also part of the Lord. At the same time, you see that, as Bhagavad says, one falls from this position. So therefore, the intermediate position is one who gets a little bit of that realization when in the material body, he can fall from that position. That's the, let's say, the solution to that bit of a contradiction. Yeah. Like the asuras, they get liberated and go into Brahman, and they stay there. Otherwise, if they come back again, then they'll cause more problems. So what's the use of liberating them at all? Yeah. At what stage of association? Well, we have the state of bhava, in which the person can see the Lord, but it is possible for him to fall because he is not completely pure. There is some impurity there. So due to aparads or something like that, previous aparads, there can be some influence and he can fall in that state of Bharat Maharaj was in bhava. He realized the Lord in ecstatic sentence, but he also forgot the Lord. So it is possible to, yes, realize the Lord and also fall from that position. In that case, he was probably, it doesn't explain it there, but one would think that he is actually eternally associated with the Lord, so maybe that's just a pastime in the material world. Like we hear pastimes of Tulsi getting cursed in the spiritual world and falling in the material world, whatever. So it's just a pastime or whatever. Well, the way that Lord Chaitanya delivers, it's not just love of God, it is Krishna prema, and Madhurya prema, Radha and Krishna, which is unique to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he delivers it to everyone because he delivers it through the holy name. And holy name is available to everyone, even the fallen people and whatever, ignorant people of Kali Yuga. So it is through the holy name that he delivers Radha Krishna and Madhurya Prema. It was in the stage of bhava, because then the Lord said, I will not reveal myself again in this lifetime in order to increase your longing for me.
He, of course, is also doing a lila because he's also Shaktivajavatar of the Lord. So it's not that he's a sadhaka ultimately. He's also just playing the role of a sadhaka. But he went to the stage of bhava, and then finally he got prema.
Huh?
Yeah. Falling down, then you you burn up the aparad. That's one way. The other, of course, is intense bhakti, good association, mercy of great devotees, etc. Help protect one. In any case, what a person on bhava is protected by the Lord. So a person like Mara was also protected by the Lord, and whatever fault he had was forgiven by the Lord, and therefore the Lord made arrangements for him to advance further. And finally, he got prema in the third verse.
Point number one: jivas have the eternal relationship with the Lord. Aspect of Brahman, they have eternal position there. The Madhva Samhita, they have this philosophy of gradation of souls.
Yeah, eternal. It's not discussed anywhere about you having such eternal relationships of sattva, rajas, tamas, etc. In our sampradaya, even in Sri Sampradaya, they don't mention it. It's something unique to Madhvas. So based on that, I would say no, it's not that the jivas are classified like that, but just due to their particular tendencies and whatever, they develop in a certain way, and then you get those results.
Yeah.